I have a little poem here I'd like to read, dedicated to all of you lovers. Says, fine night of June, bright stars, big moon. In park on bench with girl and flinch. Be safe in love, she cool like dove. Be smart, be fast, never let chance pass. Get hitched, be safe, she say okay. Another night of June, bright stars, big moon. Wedding bell ring, honeymoon, everything. Happy now, got wife, settle down, married life. Another night in June, bright stars, big moon, ain't happy no more. Carry baby, walk floor. Wife mad, she fuss, me mad, me fuss. Life one big spat, nagging wife, Alan Brad. So we realize at last, he make woo-woo too fast. Right.
We need that.
So you fellas take it easy, please. All right. Now for Elks and the Devil. Well, leave my sermon notes alone. I'm going to try to preach from 1 Timothy chapter 4. A fellow here a while back was preaching in a country church, and the wind blew his notes out the window, and an old cow ate them, an old milk cow ate them, and went dry in 2 weeks. If you don't know where I got that from your superintendent, Brother Ryan. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. The New English Bible says, for therefore we toil and strive. The King James Version says we labor and suffer reproach. But the New English Bible of Life says to this, for this we toil and strive, because we trust in the living God. Because we trust in Him, and we thank the Lord for it. You see, Jesus said, I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've got faith in young people that our assemblies of God churches are going to keep moving on the march and going as long as we've got the caliber of young people.
Hallelujah.
That I've had to preach to this week here in West Texas. I'm not worried about West Texas churches. I just believe that as long as you touch heaven, touch God, get the joy and the blessing of God in your heart and life like you have been around these altars, I'm not worried about West Texas Assemblies of God churches. Because I think they're going to have some great leadership. I think last night we had some victories won. I know we did. We had kids that came to me personally and said, Brother Brankle, I've dedicated my life to the cause of the ministry of the gospel. And I'm thanking God for that. And I appreciate you kids getting in where we can have services that we can enjoy the blessings of God. But see, the Word of God tells us that He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, gates don't attack. Gates defend. So it's up to us to mount the attack. Too many times we get to acting like that we've got to dig in and make a gold mine stand 24 hours a day just holding on against the devil. But I had an old coach back when I was in high school, and he believed that as long as we had the ball, the other team couldn't score.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, boys, if you get that ball and hold on to it and don't turn it loose and don't cough it up, you just keep going with it, the other team can't score. If we get the ball first and we score every time we get the ball, we'll win.
Amen.
But you see, a lot of time we get this holding on. We think, oh God, the devil burned me all day. Bless his dear name. And Lord, I'm the only one here. We get that persecuted complex. And we get that undefeated complex. And we get the feeling sorry for ourselves. And a few dear old well-meaning saints have come along and say, bless you, dear children. You have to serve God all by yourself. No, you don't.
That's it.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I never learned much at school, but I learned one thing in algebra. I guess it's algebra, but I learned one equation that works, and that's one plus God is a majority.
Glory.
I said one plus God is a majority.
Yes.
And you don't have to sit around digging in on the goal line stand and thinking, oh Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to get the ball and make some scores in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The greatest scores that are ever being made today are being made today for Pentecostal believers.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. There's a few that would try to sit around and tell you, oh no, but I'm going to tell you something. In the world around that I'm traveling in today, if you're not a tongue-talking Christian, you're not anything.
That's
I said, if you're not a tongue-talking Christian, you're not anybody. I was standing in line the other day at a cafeteria, and a preacher and I were talking, and a lady tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, are you spirit-filled? I said, sure am, are you? She said, not yet, but I sure want to be. I just listened to your thought, and I thought you folk must be spirit-filled, and I just want to get around folks that are spirit-filled, but I like it. Glory to God, this is the day when God is pouring out his Spirit and baptizing everybody that lives with the power of the Holy Ghost. And God is moving and touching hearts and lives, and we don't have to sit around feeling sorry because we're Pentecostal. God has put the Pentecostal cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get to them and everybody can have some, and this is the day of the Holy Spirit. You, young people, are living in the generation and growing up right now to the place that is the greatest day to be alive, the greatest day to be saved, the greatest day to be serving God, the greatest time. Did you ever think, you fellows that are here that are my age, that it would be a time when in most of our major cities you can now listen to Pentecostalized television programs almost all day and all night? Fantastic.
Glory.
I was in Los Angeles in two different stations, almost in competition with each other, and almost everything on there is Pentecostal, Spirit-filled people talking about the good blessings of God and what God is doing. I was in Dallas and the area down in through all through Dallas and that area, Channel 39, and almost everything on there was Spirit-filled people coming on, praising God for what he's doing. I remember when our churches were all down on the back side of the railroad track, and you go down to a town, look down the railroad track each way, and you see a little old sign shaking in the wind that said, Jesus saved me. He said, that's my church. But that day is not the day. Today, God has put us right out on the freeway. Put us right out where everybody can find us at. And put your church on the map. And you tongue-talking young people are the mood of the day when God has called you and filled you with the Holy Spirit and moved in your heart tonight. And this is your hour that God has brought you to. Don't fumble the ball. Keep it. Glory to God. Let's score. And let's carry it over and bear some touchdowns until Jesus Christ blows the final whistle and says the game's over, boys. And you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the day and the hour. To this end, we toil and strive.
Amen.
For this we work. For this our moms and dads and our older folks have labored and toiled and taken persecution and rotten tomatoes, and they cut down the tin ropes and they burned them and they did everything else, and they toiled and they strived and they lived in persecution, and everybody laughed and poked fun at the homer owners, and now they found out if you're not a homer owner, you're not anybody. I'm glad. Thank God for your moms and dads. Thank God for the facts of Pentecostal churches. Thank God for the day and the hour that we live in. To this end, we've come to this hour. And
have you been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise God forever. Hallelujah. I want to look on just a little bit more because, you see, I think it's about time we start going, and we have. I listened to Lulu's testimony last Sunday at Brother Robert's church, and I thought about this text. This text says the gates of hell shall not prevail. That means we can go right to the gates of hell and recruit. That means we can go right up, knock on the gates of hell, and recruit and get people. When I heard Lulu talk about her sinful life and her past, not that it's glory, God forbid, because it is not. But I thank God that the Holy Spirit can reach down to a dope addict. I'm glad the Holy Spirit can reach down to the alcoholic. I'm glad the Holy Spirit can reach down and reach after the gates of hell and pluck them as firebrands from the burning and pull them out and save them. Hallelujah. Redeem them and set them on a life of regeneration and blessing and start them on the road to heaven. Greatest blessings probably you young people that have never been there. And you've never had a needle in your veins and never popped a pill and never been high on alcohol, never been high on drugs. Thank God you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You're in this tent. Shout glory. Praise to God. Don't forget that that's the kind of life that's a charmed life that God wants you to live. So you live above sin. Live a long way from it. Thank God. There's victory in Jesus. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the King of glory. Hallelujah. Think I'm too loud. Anybody can't hear me? I'd like to go back in my text and in my Bible tonight to the Old Testament. And over back there in the book of Judges, the 3rd chapter, the 5th chapter, there's a story that 2 verses that talk about one man. And he was a man that was just simply an ordinary guy. I don't know, he was just one man that had enough faith to believe God. His name was Shamgar. And old Shamgar was a farmer. And all he owned was an ox goat. An ox goat, and he was a farmer. But he led Israel into some glorious victories. Where you see the Philistines had come, and they captured the land. And they had captured the land. And all the Israelites were walking down the byways and the back paths. You weren't traveling down the roads. Now, we don't have to do this down here. We get perturbed when we cross the state line and we go out to Arizona and they stop and say, have you got any fruit in here? And we say, well, one in the back. But we cross over the state line and they stop and say, agriculture inspection, you got any fruits or nuts? And we say, yeah, we've got both. God bless us both kinds. But anyhow, we think about it. Yes, hello. And you're going to California, you have to stop and then you cross the state line a few places, you go into Mexico and back out, and they expect, but in foreign countries where Sister Rachel and I go, every few miles you had a checkpoint charter. That you stop there on the road and they have to check your passport and they have to check all your, see where you're born and where you're from and where you're going to it, and you have to register with them as you pass through. It's almost like going through every county line in the foreign countries. You have to stop and register and stop and register and stop and register and stop and register. And that's the way that the Philistines had done. They set up checkpoint charlies out here on the road, and every time you pass down the road, you have to stop and show them who you were and what tribe of Judah you were, whether it was from Judah or Benjamin or what it might be, and what tribe of Israel. And everybody quit traveling down the main roads. Everybody was taking the byways and the back ways, and they were going around the checkpoint charges, and nobody was walking down the road. They were just simply taking the back road. I've got news for you young people. The devil, if he can get our territory, get into our churches, and then get into your CA group, he'll try to get it running down the back roads instead of going down the freeway.
Amen.
Amen. He'll get you to try to travel down the back roads instead of the freeways. The freeways belong to the children of the King. And we're all King's kids tonight. We enjoy God's blessing and the goodness of God, and so therefore we ought to be traveling on the freeways and let the devil's crap. crowd take the back out.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. That makes you want to throw your own chin up, your chest out, and walk down through the crowd and say, glory to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, and I belong to Him. And so therefore, we look at old Shamgar, and he lived in the day when the Philistines had taken over. Nobody was going down the front row. Everybody was going down the back alley, and everybody going down the back rows. And he said, I'm tired of traveling that way. I've lived in enemy territory, and I live there, but I'm going to do something about it. Hallelujah. We're living today in a... You get to looking around and the devil gets to tell you there are not any other Christians in this school but you. You're the only one. You're the only one. You're the only Lone Ranger there is for Jesus on this campus. I've got news for you. There's a lot of them. Like I preached the other night about the fellow in the secret, God's secret service. God's got a lot of secret service agents that had never come out of the woodwork and never confessed Him and never let anybody. I want to tell you something, that if you'll stand your ground and stand your where you want to stand and stand as a consistent, honest Christian, God will make a way for you.
Amen.
I remember when I was in high school. It's been a while, but I can still remember. But I remember in high school, the parties and the beer busts and the things that were going on. You know, kids were kids then, just like they are now. And they tried to make it out like this. Heaven, son, they'd come in with a big old hang dog look on Monday morning, a big old swell head, and then they'd try to say there's heaven full. Dummies. They should have been with me, where we were shouting and praising God, went home feeling good, got up feeling better.
Hallelujah.
Glory. I remember going through high school days, they invited me to their beer bus, and I say, no, thank you, I'm not going. Well, we didn't expect you to, but we wanted you to know you're welcome. They'd come around again and say, we're going to have a party over somebody's house. Jimmy, I'll come. I said, no, thank you, I don't go though. Well, we didn't think you would, but we want you to know we wasn't leaving you out. That's nice. I remember going through this. I remember I had to, the night of my sectional council was at the night of the, had the tryouts for the senior play. I want that lead part. Oh, I wanted it so bad. But the sectional council was that night, and that's where my ministry was, and that's where I knew I had to go. So instead of going to tryouts, I went to sectional council, and went over to sectional council, and I didn't get it. And when I got back, I put God first. And not anything wrong with the play. There wasn't anything wrong with that. There wasn't anything wrong with that. Except that I knew that I was called to preach and I had to do something for God. And it wasn't doing the senior play. It wasn't my thing. My thing was doing a little job.
Amen.
It's not illegitimate things that keep you from having the victory. It's legitimate things that keep you from the blessings of God.
Amen.
Not too many of you kids out robbing banks. If you have, I wish you'd start paying your tithes and send me a little offering. Your pastor appreciates you paying tithes over here. But anyhow, I'm going to tell you, you kids aren't out robbing banks. You're not out doing a lot of things that it's the legitimate things that are keeping you from God's best in your life. You see, it's not wrong to own two Lincoln Continentals and a big old boat and everything. It's where you park them on Sunday.
Glory.
Yeah. It's getting dark. Somebody heard my brother. You've had a lot of false doctors. I'll get you deoriented and get you straightened out. All right. But I want to tell you something. You see, it's not wrong to do a lot of things unless you've taken God out of His position in your life and put other things there first. These folks aren't saying amen, but would you say amen? You just like them, and you're sitting up there quiet. Oh, but she's smiling when I see her teeth. She got the perfect whitest teeth you ever saw. She black spots over.
Oh, I remember old high school days back there when coach and the teacher who was the sponsor of our senior play came around and said, Jim, you weren't here last night. I said, no. He said, I was looking for you to be a part. I said, well, I had some things I had to do with. You know, I'm going to be a preacher when I graduate, and I'm already a preacher, and I've got to keep my ministry going. Well, they said, why don't you do the act between the acts, and come out between acts, and do us a bunch of poetry, do us spouse a bunch of stuff, and do a bunch of silly stuff. And you know what? I got more hands and more hand claps than they did for the student play. But you see, I remember going through all the school like this, holding my standard high, trying to keep it and not compromise some things that really wouldn't have been wrong, but I just couldn't keep God and the touch of God in my life that I could, that I needed if I was going to stand and preach the gospel.
That's it. Amen.
You know, kids, if you're going to do something for God, you need to keep an anointing on your life. And if you have the anointing of God on your life, you've got to keep yourself clean.
Amen.
You cannot keep the anointing and the favor of God in your life and keep dabbling around with everything else. If you lose that touch of God out of your life.
That's the truth.
I remember time came for graduation. Time came for graduation. They was going to choose a speaker to give the address at the commencement service. And I'll never forget the day they came around and said, Jim, we've chosen you to be our speaker for your own commencement service. And I got to give the address at my commencement service. Never forget it. We went on our senior trip. We were gone over Sunday. And now on Sunday in Lake Tanacoma, southern Missouri. All the kids are down there. And on Sunday morning, they got up on Sunday morning. They could have done anything. They'd gone out on the lake. They'd done anything they wanted to do. But they sent the teacher over to me, the rest of the class, and said, would you ask Jim to be in old church this morning and preach to us our last time together? I felt like I was walking about 10 feet tall on the last Sunday that my graduating class was ever together. They asked.
Lord, that's good for you.
Hey,
hallelujah.
But I want to tell you something. Not only that, he started before they had. He had an oscope. Now, if a man was going out and deliver you from the enemy, you wouldn't want a man that had an oscope. You'd want a man that owned a Sherman tank and a machine gun. At least a 30-06. Would you believe an automatic 22? But you see, a single shot. Had a gun.
Baby gun.
It's not what they call the modern kid, but at least a slingshot.
you folks that are visiting don't know, but we've been having Texas Aggie jokes in the morning and rating them like we do the Olympics. But anyhow, but I want to tell you something. You start right where you are. You start with what you have. And you start operating right now. You say, preacher, what have I got? Well, number one, you've got the name of Jesus Christ that makes devils tremble and makes hell put on trembling, because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! There's no other name that's got as much power in it. Wherever you may go or whatever you may do, if God calls you to preach and to stand behind the pulpit, go there in the name of Jesus. If God calls you to knock on doors, knock on doors in the name of Jesus. If God calls you to see a group to get on fire in the name of Jesus. You have His name. You have the name of Jesus that causes demons to flee and devils to tremble and makes the saints of God strengthened warriors, because His name will go before you. You have glory. You also have in you the baptism of the Holy Ghost that God's filled you with, that God has empowered you with. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, demons have to flee. And people begin to speak in tongues when you lay hands on them. And the sick are healed, because these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. You believe that? Amen. In the name of Jesus. God, fill us with that spirit of power. Touch us with the divine anointing. Let the fire of God begin to burn, and the spirit of the Lord touch our hearts and fill us with the divine blessing of heaven. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When old Shamgar went out, he didn't knock down every Philistine there was. He took them one at a time. That's how most souls are won, is one at a time. Amen. Most people are won to God one at a time. One at a time. You start talking to your friend. And you start telling, you say, well, don't start arguing religion. Tell them what's happened to you.
Amen.
They can't argue with what happened in your life.
That's right.
Oh, you get an argument over how you're supposed to baptize or what formula or whether you're supposed to, what it is. Don't get those kind of stupid arguments. Take them one at a time. Just say, yeah, but you ought to hear what happened to me. Yeah. Jesus is real. Jesus loves you. Jesus is wonderful. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, old Shamgar starts slipping down through there. He saw a Philistine standing up there, checkpoint star, Charlie out there by himself, and he reached out that ox goat and got him. That old boy began to gasp for air, and he had a hole in his lung. And old Shamgar pulled his ox back, slipped back in the bushes. They took roll the next morning, they were missing one. They said, well, what happened to him? He said, I don't know, we've got a hole in his lung over there. The next morning they called Gold at the Philistines, and another was missing. And another was missing. And you know what? He got 600 with an ox goat. Now you think 600 would be a lot of 30 off six. And have telescope wings. But this old boy had an ox goat slipping up over him, and sweet spirit of you. brings us to a dedication with what we have. Just one little old simple dollar, Lord. Take me. Use me. Set me aflame in a fire and take me, God, back home to my community and make me a blessing where I live. Oh, Spirit of God, touch me.